Before I get to the sermon proper, I thought it would be appropriate to update you a little bit. Back in August, I preached a sermon on loneliness. And in the middle of the sermon, I changed the title of that sermon from loneliness to Making It Right. Because I had been driven to the conclusion that the reason that I had been feeling lonely, the reason that I was preaching the sermon, was because of a bit of a separation between God and myself. And I needed to make it right. And I made statements in that sermon that I would like to follow up on. First, I gave you permission to ask me what I was reading in my devotions, if I was reading my devotions. And some of you did that, and I thank you. Second, I said that I was going to set a devotional time and stick with it. I'm ashamed to say that it took me a while, but happy to say that I've been going strong for well over a month now. And not to say I haven't missed a day here or there, but the point was to be drawing closer to God, not a legalistic time slot. Finally, I said I was going to be more careful with my media choices. And I felt I needed some break from some of the things I was listening to and watching. And that one I haven't been as good at, mostly because I forgot that I said it. until I went back and looked at the sermon. the reason I tell you all that is that I do want to be accountable. And it is very easy to make claims, promises, what have you, and then to brush them under the rug of the past and kind of forget about them. I also want to tell you that one of the things that has been instrumental in keeping me on track is fellowship. Fellowship with other believers. I've been a part of Strive, the men's discipleship group that Rob has been leading, and I've been pleasantly surprised at how much that has helped my walk. I would encourage you, is my belief that you need more than one contact with the body other than just Sunday morning. At least one, be it a Bethmore Bible study, small group, youth, what have you. In this day and age, in any day and age, it is hard to have everything in common to share our lives together when the only time we see each other is Sunday morning. Now to the sermon. My sermon this morning, it needs a little background. I went to a Christian high school, Maranatha Christian, a school that is no longer open. It was in Columbus. So my high school records are now at a church office in Columbus somewhere. I keep thinking I may want to retrieve them before they have a work day and they throw out some filing cabinets. It was a real blessing to attend Maranatha. I made lifelong friends, was taught biblical things as well as normal high school curriculum. I truly believe if I had not gone there, my life would have turned out very differently. I was on a very different track before I went to Maranatha. And I remember, I'm not sure if it was on the statement of faith that everyone had to sign to go there, or if it was something that was taught in chapel or Bible class, but I remember this statement being impressed upon me very strongly when I was there. Avoid the appearance of evil. Avoid the appearance of evil. And how this played out is that what statement was the basis for many of the rules we had to follow. We were not allowed to go to dances, even if we weren't going to dance. Because just by attending, someone might think that we might be going to dance, and therefore that would look evil. And I'm not here to discuss whether dancing is evil or not. But, or maybe a better example, we were discouraged from going to places that serve alcohol. Don't be alone with a member of the opposite sex. Most of these were taught as common sense. Whatever you do, don't do anything that looks evil. And then after high school, I went on to college. I went to Cedarville College here in Ohio, which is now Cedarville University. Once again, I'm not sure where I was. I believe it was in the handbook. But there was a huge emphasis on avoiding the appearance of evil, more so even than in high school. My freshman year at Cedarville was the first year that the college allowed its students to go to movies. Before that, movie theaters were against the rule because of the perception that they were evil. The rule that I remember sticking out to me the most was on the subject of pregnancy. And I went and I checked, I read the handbook online this morning, and I talked to Anna, who attends there right now, and it's not there anymore, which I'm kind of happy. But anyway, here, let me lay it out. I think I'm getting this right. If a student was pregnant, she was not allowed to attend classes at Cedarville. Now, premarital sex was against the rule as well, of course, and that looked to be a natural consequence of that, and they would also be expelled from Cedarville for that. But this wasn't just in the case of immorality. If a married student was pregnant, she was not allowed to attend classes because it was to avoid the appearance that Cedarville has girls getting pregnant and going to classes. okay? I'm glad it's not there anymore. But that really, it struck me as really fishy at the time, and now still. Anyway, the reason I'm thinking about this topic of avoiding the appearance of evil is because recently I was going through some papers in my to-do basket at work. If you're like me, my to-do basket collects stuff, and after a while, only the most recent stuff, the stuff on top, actually needs to get done. The stuff further down is more like belly button lint. It just sort of collects there until you do something about it. Hopefully more often than I clean out my desk drawer. Wow. Okay. Well, I came across our new statement of faith, guidelines that we as employees had to sign off on to work at WEEC. And this was my copy. I'd already signed and handed it back in. There's been some some changes, so they've made a new one. And just for kicks, must have been a slow day at work, I started reading down through them. I think the first time I signed it, I had quickly skimmed it, signed. This time I read it, which isn't, I don't recommend that usually, but this time I read it pretty carefully, and sure enough, one of them was, I will avoid the very appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And I looked at it, and I started thinking, now, wait a minute. There are places in the Bible that infer that we are to strive to be like Christ. One example that came to mind was in Philippians 2:1-5. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And there are others. Jesus did a lot of things that had the appearance of evil. Think about it. This is one of the very things that the Pharisees called him on or came at him. He went and had meals with tax collectors and sinners. He associated with Gentiles and prostitutes. He violated the Sabbath, at least in the minds of the priests and the Pharisees. I was like, how can I witness to someone who is not a Christian when the very act of doing so might be seen from the outside as evil? And according to this verse, I'm supposed to avoid that? So I decided to take a closer look at that verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. In the King James and the American King James, it is this: abstain from all appearance of evil. I don't have a King James, I had an NIV, and the NIV says, avoid every kind of evil. Hold the phone. Avoid every kind of evil. That's different from the appearance of evil. Now, not everyone likes NIV, so I checked the New American Standard, and it says, abstain from every form of evil. Kind of similar to the New International Version. Then, just for kicks, I checked out the New King James Version. I'm not sure why I did. I was assuming that it would say the same thing as the King James, because that was what was quoted in the WEEC Statement of Faith. And I knew that they used New King James Version for all their references. It was something a board decision from back in the day. And so I assumed it would be the same as the King James. But the New King James was, abstain from every form of evil. So in this instance, it may have been whoever put it together just quoted it from memory, or they used the King James because it said what they wanted it to say. They wanted the verse to say, avoid the appearance of evil. But do you see the difference? If you're avoiding the appearance of evil, you're trying not to do things that might look evil, even though they may not actually be evil. If you're abstaining from every form of evil, or like the NIV says, avoiding every kind of evil, you're not avoiding things that just look evil, you're avoiding evil. Actual evil. Well, what is evil? Another word for it would be sin. Avoid every kind of sin. To put this in a little bit of context, this verse occurs at the end of 1 Thessalonians, where Paul is giving the Thessalonians his last words of the book, his closing. I'm going to pick up in verse 12 and read through 24. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And it goes on to 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. First off, this verse is given in the context of a community of believers. How are we supposed to treat and relate to each other? More specifically, it's placed right after talking about the Holy Spirit and prophecies. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. You could take this verse out and say, avoid every kind of evil as a statement or a creed to live by. Avoid every kind of evil. And it would work for that. But is that how it is meant? I think it is meant that when someone says something that they claim is of the Holy Spirit, or they prophesy, don't discount it out of hand, or treat it with contempt, as the verses say, but test it. Test everything that comes up. Keep it if it is good. Avoid it if it isn't. Paul is telling the Thessalonians to be discerning, not to avoid the appearance of evil. So, well, how did it get translated like this? Why does it say the appearance of evil? And, of course, it goes back to the original language, which is Greek. The word here that is translated as appearance by the King James and form, or kind, in the NIV and other translations, that word has both definitions. It can mean both. In most places in the Bible, it does mean appearance. But here, taking the context into account, it'd be more accurately rendered kind or form, in my opinion. And well, this has been interesting, but what does it mean for us, and what do I want us to take from this? First, be very careful when you use a verse to prove a point that you're using it correctly, that you have paid attention to what it meant originally. You seriously can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. I remember once early on when I just started preaching, I complimented a preacher on how he used a lot of proof texts in his message. And he was pretty affronted because after some discussion, I was pretty young in this, I had learned that the term proof text is actually sort of a bad word for preachers because it means using verses individually, separately, to prove from their context, to prove sometimes inaccurately your point. And I found an example of this I'd like to share with you about this verse from our website, www.thejesusfreakhideout.com. I'm just going to quote it from you. Some months ago, I heard from a young teen who asked for prayer because she was having a hard time finding a job. She described herself as looking like a punk druggie, but assured me that she was straight edge and a strong Christian. She was frustrated because everyone, including potential employers, seemed focused on her appearance, whereas she desperately wanted them to focus on her personality and maturity. What she didn't understand was the fact that in many cases, all she had to do was to look like a rebellious, drug-using teen to be mistaken for one. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, King James Version. No matter how good this teen's intentions might be, no matter how much she might love the Lord, he is concerned about her appearance and about the kind of impression she makes on those she comes in contact with. Scripture says that God is the only one who can see into people's hearts, and because of that, the believer's outward appearance, actions, and words must be consistently Christ-like if we're to make a real difference for him in this world. He says the amplified version of this verse reads, abstain from evil, shrink from it, and keep aloof from it in whatever form, whatever kind it may be. If we're to please and glorify God, we must keep a healthy difference from every kind of evil. Now, I think that guy makes a pretty good argument. I think a lot of his points are accurate. But to use that verse, I think he could have found there are better ones for avoiding the appearance of evil. And he does bring it back up at the end. He brings up the correct translation of it. Now, just because this verse does not mean to avoid the appearance of evil, I think there is a place for that, and other scriptures do back that up. Not putting yourself in situations where you would be tempted or compromised is a smart idea, and people's impressions of you do matter. I do think it is wise not to be alone with a member of the opposite sex. there's simply too much risk. Romans 14 lays out how we should be careful of our actions so as not to offend someone else with our freedom. If you drink alcohol, for example, be wary of doing it where it would offend someone who believes you shouldn't, or maybe has had issues with substance abuse in their lives, and for them to follow your example would be sin for them. Also in Romans 12, which actually has some parallels with 1 Thessalonians 5, it says in verse 15, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Now, on the face of that, that's impossible. To do right in everybody's eyes, really. But I think what Paul is saying, be careful. Try your best to do what is right in others' eyes so as to maintain unity in the body. So while I think this verse in 1 Thessalonians is often wrongly used, I do think it is a good thing to avoid the appearance of evil, but not always. And I think something trumps avoiding the appearance of evil. And those are other commands from Scripture, such as the one that tells us to love our neighbor as ourself, from Matthew 5. We're commanded to love. There are situations where it is the right thing to put ourselves in a compromising situation that might look evil to others. Here's a fairly cheesy example. In Alaska, a woman whose car has broken down in the winter on the freeway will die if she's left there. She will freeze to death if someone does not pick her up and take her to safety. And a Christian male had better do so, even at the risk of being alone with a woman in a car. Cheesy example, but it's the one that came to mind. It's all right to be seen associating with people that might bring down our reputation, because we are also commanded to spread the good news, the gospel, which is why I'm still okay with the fact that I signed the statement at WEEC. There's another one on there, reading down a little further, that said that I will be committed to evangelism. And that means I can witness to anyone in any location. I can copy Christ by witnessing to the tax collector, the drug dealer, the sinner, without fearing how I look, how it appears. I do plan to mention this to my boss, though. I want to see what he thinks about it. It might be fun. But let's be careful about how we use Scripture. And let's be wise as serpents, but as innocent as doves. Father, I've brought up a lot of information today. Went through a lot of things rather quickly. But Lord, I pray that we would be discerning in how we use Scripture, in how we appear to others. I pray that our lives would be ruled by your love, and that we wouldn't take legalistic stances on things, Lord, but would really focus on showing love to those around us, whether that would be by pointing out inaccuracies in Scripture, or by abstaining from things that might appear evil to them. Lord, we do want to thank you for your word, and I pray that we will treat it with the respect it deserves. Amen.